Well, that's the lie of every good preacher, I reckon, as we won't stay too long. But I'm going to try to not keep you as long as the Lord allows. Let's just read John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I want you to see this right here as we're taking a part of this communion service. This is where Jesus actually did it. He knew what was going on. You should just tap somebody and say, Jesus knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows what's going on? I'm glad that I know that he knows what's going on, even when I'm messed up. Now, I'll break it down like this. Just in a few hours, he said, I love them, and I love them to the end. He loved everybody in that room, even though everybody in that room in the next 24 hours are going to fail him in every way possible. I mean, some of them are going to say, no, Jesus, I'll go with you till the end. No, Jesus, I'll die with you. Amen? Some even put their head on his chest and hurt his heart and knew that he loved them. But when it got real hot, when it got real hard, they all melted. They all dispersed. They all ran. They smote the shepherd and the sheep. They took off. Amen? Praise God. How many of you sitting in this room this morning have made declarations to God, I'm going to do better. God, I'm going to do better. We're coming up on New Year's Eve. We've already got some things. We're going to eat better. We're going to exercise better. We're going to do better. Praise God. God, I wish we'd be real just for a moment. But anyway, and we say to ourselves all this year, but I've said this to God so many times, oh God, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to mess up. But then 7:30 a.m., I've done. But God loves you to the end. If you're saved, if you're born again, God loves you despite of you. He loves you. Listen, we don't have a system. We don't have a system where we have to perform to have Jesus love us. Thank God. Jesus loves us despite of how we perform sometimes. If we're saved by His grace. If we're saved by what He did at Calvary. If we put our trust and faith in Him, He'll love you until the end. And he'll let you mess up. He'll let you flounder and fall. But guess what? He'll correct you. He'll teach you. He'll lead you. And he'll make you better for it. Is there anybody in here that's better for God letting you flounder around sometimes? Boy, praise God, I am. I am. But I was glad when I read that he was sitting in a room about to have a supper with some people that he knew were utterly going to fail him. And he loved them anyway. I'm glad God loves me anyway. He loves me anyway. Despite when I say, God, I'm going to do better. And by the 7:30 the next morning, I've done failed him as much as I'm going to fail him. Verse 2. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 2. I want y'all to hear this. As a preacher, as a minister, I get told a lot of stuff. I do. You're not going to believe what's going on in this community. You're not going to believe what's going on around this church. And I'm sitting there going, I believe it. I believe it. Why? Because we're people. And people can do some messed up stuff. We can say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and act the wrong thing. But what I want to preach to you, and what I want you to understand is this, I don't care. I'm not taking score for you. What I do care about is I want you to understand that God can see your heart, though. And I want to be real straight with you. If you come to this church and you come here to worship and you come here to learn and you come here to grow, know that God sees your heart. Don't pretend for us. Don't put on for us. Don't act like you got it all together for us. Don't act like you're more spiritual than everybody else. Hey, this is what you do. Just be real with God and He'll be real with you. So if we come in here and we try to act all spiritual, but we got some sin in our life, God knows about it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God knows about it. He understands it. And He wants you to get it out in the open and deal with it. He don't want you to keep coming to the house of God, carrying your sin, working in your sin, and then trying to act like just coming to church is going to cancel that out, because it's not. What He wants is a good relationship with you. What He wants is obedience in the church, but obedience outside the church. Because when we're out of obedience with God, we're not hurting God as much as we're hurting ourselves. We're hurting our testimony. Because people We've told them we go to church. We told them that we believe in God. And then they're watching our lives and they're going, wait a minute, something doesn't add up. They're not telling the truth. They're doing the same things I'm doing. They're talking the same way I'm talking. They're doing the same things that I am doing. And they're saying that I am wrong. God would like you to have an obedient heart. Not just in the house of God. But let me tell you this. Everybody in this room, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. We all need His grace. But I wanted you to know that this morning Judas thought he was getting over. He's sitting in there, and we're having a Lord's Supper this morning, and Judas was in the very first Lord's Supper, and he's sitting there, I'm going through the same ritual all these other guys are going. Yeah, but he didn't have it in his heart. You can have all the ritual you want. You can have all the religion you want. You can come to church all you want, but until it gets in you, until the church gets into you, and it gets into every fiber of your life, every action, every word, every deed, and your sin bothers you as much as it bothers everybody else. Can I tell you something else about sin? Stop gauging other people's sin by your sin. Stop looking at other people and say, well, they do this so I can do that. Has anybody ever done that before? Well, that old person over there told a lie. So I can do what I do. This person over here drinks, so I can do this. This person over here steals, so I can do that. This person over here has got a bad attitude, so I can do what I do over here. Can I tell you that's not true? Can I tell you that's not the right way to go about it? Do you know who we're supposed to be shooting for? You know who the target is? Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the race. He is the end of the race that we are running. We're supposed to be looking to Him and comparing ourselves to Him. And guess what? We all come short, but that's a good target to shoot for. We don't look at each other and say, well, oh, that person does this, so I can do that. You know what we should do? We should be broken over their sin. It shouldn't give us an entitlement to sin. It should give us a place to pray. And then maybe, my gosh, and then maybe a place of ministry. I see you struggling. I see you hurting. I see you operating in a place that you shouldn't be operating. Is there any way that I can help you get out of this? But not because that I'm more spiritual than you, not because I'm so much stronger than you, but because maybe one day I'll need you to come alongside of me and pull me up out of my mess. The church usually is the only people I know that has an army that we kill our own wounded. Somebody's wounded, somebody's broken, somebody's hurting. And what do? Instead of saying, let me help you get up, we say, thank God I'm not as bad as they are. I thought I had problems, but I'm glad her problems are worse than mine. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Because God has an awesome way of letting our lives change. And that same person you thought, man, I'm glad my life ain't as messed up as theirs, eventually starts doing pretty good. And then you're on the other side of that, and you're the one who needs the help. And how would you get ministered to if everybody ministered the way you minister? Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He was come from God and went to God. Sometimes you have to remind yourself of where you were and where you're going. Life's going to get hard. You're going to get some bad reports. You're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some days where people are going to pass away. You're going to have some doctor's reports. You're going to have some family drama and some family issues. You're going to have church issues and church drama. And guess what? You got to remind yourself where you came from and where you're going. Jesus found me on my worst day. Sometimes when I have a real bad day in my faith walk, when I have a real bad day and I get some bad news, I got to remind myself that at least I'm not lost. Thank God, August 28, Jesus came by and saved an old wretched sinner like me. And praise God, I'm still not in my sin. Jesus didn't leave me the way He found me. Thank God. So I got to remind myself, as bad as it can get, it will never get as bad as it was. Jesus, save me. I'm heaven bound. Sometimes you got to remind yourself that you are not the same as you used to be. Then you got to remind yourself where you're headed. This is not heaven. We are not home yet. Amen? We're just like those Jewish, we're just like the Jewish people as they were coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land. They had to go through their wilderness. People, you're going to have to go through your wilderness. You're going to have to walk up and down and all around in some real dry places. And God's going to be there, but sometimes you're going to question, man, this is tough. And God's going to keep reminding you, just keep going. There's a better place for you. There's a better place for you. You know what I love about that story the most? Is Moses took them all the way up into the Jordan. You know that? Moses represented the law. Moses could only take them so far. Amen? He could only take them so far, but he had a good helper, and his name was Joshua. It's pronounced like this, Yeshua. And that's pronounced just like Jesus. See, you're going to go through the wilderness. See, you found the law. Amen. You found the law. Back when you got saved, you found out you were guilty. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a fornicator, an adulterer at heart. Amen. And I need Jesus. That's what brings you out of your bondage. You found out that you needed Jesus. Well, then Jesus saves you by His amazing grace. And He lets you go through this life, but right when you take your last breath, you're going to have to cross over into a place called glory. And Moses can't go there. Moses can look at it, but he can't enter in. He said, Moses, I'm going to let you look into the promised land, but you can't go because you represent the law. The law could never get anybody anywhere. It can only show you that you needed Jesus. So the little guy named Joshua took over, Yeshua, and he could walk through the water into the promised land. One day you're going to walk into promise. If you're saved, you're born again, if you believed in who Jesus is, repented of your sins and asked Him to be the Lord of your life, one day when you take your last breath, as beautiful as that is or as ugly as that is, I'll say it again, as beautiful as that is or as ugly as that is, you will open your eyes up in glory. And there will be one who meets you, and His name will be Jesus. And He'll say, I've been waiting for you. I've been looking forward to this day. This is a wedding day. See, a lot of people want to talk about Jesus. Well, He's going to judge. Listen, Jesus said it's like a wedding day. I've never seen a groom who looks for the bride to punish her. Go to a wedding. If you see that, that might be a sign that you need to marry somebody else. If the groom is standing up at the front of the church going, boy, I can't wait to marry you. Amen? But most of the time, it's the bridegroom. He's standing up there looking down the aisle going, oh my God, I can't believe she's mine. I can't believe she's in love with me. I can't believe I'm going to get to spend the rest of my life with her. That's how Jesus looks at the church. That's how He looks at you. That's how He looks at you. Do you believe that? Is that how He looks at you? Some of you in this room don't even know how to look at yourself. Some of you don't even love yourself as much as God loves you. God loved you so much that He gave His only life for you. He sacrificed His love for you. And guess what? And when you die, He'll be the first one there. I've been waiting on you. Man, I've been looking for you. Ever since you said I do, I've been up here working to get this place ready for you. I'm so glad you're here. This is my favorite part. Verse 4. Man, this is my favorite part. He rises from the supper, and he laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Some of y'all are sitting here today going, man, I thought it's Christmas Eve. Why don't you preach a Christmas message? I am. See, when I get presents, I really don't care when somebody purchases them. I don't care when they put them under the tree. I like when we get to unwrap them. Amen? I mean, I've walked in the house for a couple of weeks now, and there's some under the tree, and I'm like, man, that's cool. I can't wait till we get to get in them. I know some of y'all are super spiritual, and y'all don't think like that, but oh well. And some of us men, we're going to get the sticker shock in a couple of weeks. My wife said this the other day, we're going to find out what we bought. Never mind. Some of y'all get that later. But the gifts are only good when you open them. See, Bethlehem, the gift was given, was presented in Bethlehem. It was opened at Calvary. It was opened at Calvary. This is the gift. And here's what the picture looks like. God became a man. See, Jesus was sitting there, and everybody at the supper was thinking, man, who's going to serve me? And who's the greatest in heaven? Who's going to be great? Me? John? Peter? Who's the great one? And all of a sudden, Jesus stood up and took off his only garment that was worth anything and put on the slave's garment. That's exactly what he did in heaven. He stood up and he took all of his righteousness and he put on flesh. Every angel in heaven looked down into Bethlehem and said, golly bum, this is amazing. What in the world is God doing? He took off all his righteousness. He took everything off and became a man. This is my favorite part. And he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. See what he did? Is he got up, he started getting in front of all the disciples, and what he did, he started taking off all the dirt that was on them, and he started putting it on himself. See, the garment he had was white, and it was spotless. But he put on a servant's robe, and he got down, and he started wiping the dirt off of people that he loved. And the dirt was all on him by the end of the day. That's Christmas, friend. Here's what Jesus did. He came and he was righteous and holy. And what he did is he covered himself in a slave's garment. And he took all of your sins and he put them on himself. And then he walked them up a hill called Calvary. And God looked at him and said, my son, my only begotten son, has become sin who knew no sin. And it pleased the Father to crush him for your sins and mine, that we might go free. When the first drop of blood hit the ground, when his flesh was tore open, the gift was available to us. It's amazing. Jesus' birthday is represented in Christmas, but he never gets a gift. We do. And that gift keeps on giving over and over and over again. Let me encourage you today in this. If you're sitting here, you've took communion, you've sat through this service, you've heard that Jesus Christ knows your sins. He knows whether you're righteous or not righteous. There's some people that know that they're on the way to heaven and they can go through anything because they're going through and they're going to heaven. But let me ask you a question. Have your sins been forgiven? Have you let Jesus cleanse and wash you? See, Jesus came to Peter, and Peter was sitting there and he goes, no, Lord, you're not going to wash me. And it's amazing how Peter changes his mind. A lot of Christians, we can't do this. I'll say it again. A lot of Christians, we can't do this. We can't change our minds. We got to be right. Here's what Peter said. Peter said, you're not washing me. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, then you're none of mine. Here's what Peter says next. Wash all of me. Because I don't want to walk out of here not being a part with you. I'd rather be washed than right. Never mind. Y'all didn't get that. I'd rather be washed than right. Some of you would rather think you're right than rather be washed. Some of you would rather think that you're okay than to let Jesus touch you. Some of you would rather walk out of here with your sin instead of letting God cleanse you for the very first time. I ask you, have you ever been cleansed by Jesus? You say, how do I get that? You say it. You say, God, I'm a sinner. And I need you to forgive me of my sins and to be the Lord of my life. And I want that free gift of salvation. You know what he'll do? Even on Christmas Eve, he'll give you that free gift of salvation. And you'll never want again for anything else. No other gift, no matter what it is, the rest of your life will pale in comparison to the gift of salvation. As we're closing, I'll ask Scott and him to come and just play a song softly. If God's dealt with your heart at all this morning, what an awesome Christmas gift this would be for someone to be saved on Christmas Eve. Or maybe you're just in a place today that you need to come and pray and seek the Lord. This altar's open for you.